The following shiur has been presented by Rav Daniel Dombrov, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For halachic wills and estates, or other inyana yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD, or visit thehalachacenter.org.
This week's parsha, Parshas Pinchas, among other topics, discusses the idea of Yerusha Sabbas. The Torah tells us that if a person dies and has sons and daughters, then the entire Yerusha goes to the sons and it's divided among the sons, and the daughters won't get any of it. If a person does not have sons, then it will go to the daughters and they'll get the entire Yerusha. That being said, I've heard from different manhigim of our dar, our generation, that recommend that a person should divide his estate equally between all his children. And this requires analysis on both the conceptual level, why is that, and practically, how could we do something which seems to be connected with the Torah prescribes. So, the first we'll discuss briefly. There's a Ramah that tells us that if a person says to do with my estate, he leaves a tzava, he leaves a will, it should do with my estate the best thing possible. So we may think, let's find perhaps the biggest yeshiva to give it to, or the biggest ani. But the Ramah tells us, no, you do it exactly how the Torah prescribes, because the Torah's prescription is the best one. And therefore we're going to divide exactly how the Torah tells us to divide Yerusha. What he said is not a contradiction, because if the Torah prescribed it, that must be the best thing to do with his money. So, in light of that Ramah, it seems difficult to say, let's split it, where the Ramah is telling us the best way to do it is how the Torah prescribed. Nonetheless, if we look through the sugyas carefully, we find that the Torah didn't totally ignore a daughter, and Chazal didn't ignore a daughter, and the way Chazal explained and did their job of instituting takanas kefi ratzon haTorah, the daughter is very well taken care of. There's a halacha of Isser Nechasim, that a person should give a tenth of his estate for Nedunya Sabbas, for the dowry, and the Gemara's and Ksubas are very clear that it's very appropriate for one to give a dowry and to establish his daughter's home. And although we do have that concept today, on some level it's not generally done more. Some people will give more often in perhaps in installments rather than the way the minhag was in Europe as giving one, you know, bulk payment in the beginning. But in Kolzeh, it's not necessarily done in the exact description of how Chazal prescribed it. And again, there's sometimes based on the society, the actual implementation of the way Chazal prescribed it, it won't be necessarily feasible in that exact form. But again, we were trying to tap into the idea that Chazal was promoting, and a pi manhigi derenu, sometimes it could be fulfilled in other forms, but it's not trying to go connect the Torah Chas V'Shalom, but to try and fulfill the Torah kafi the way our society is structured. As well, we find that in a case where there's not such a big Yerusha, so there's Mazain Habas, there's a halacha that the daughters will get their general needs, their daily needs, before the sons will get anything. And so again, we're not ignoring the daughters, but rather Chazal had a very specific way of fulfilling the daughter's needs. And because that perhaps is not feasible to implement, so now what these manhigim are saying is, and Efrat, the, you know, I guess the, besides, there's a cheshbon of idea of trying to be mekayim what the Torah wanted and Chazal wanted for the daughters, but also the Indian of Lamana Shalom, that in this tzura they feel that this is the way to achieve the best shalom after the parent passes away, that there should be the least amount of contention over the Yerusha, is to do things even. There's obviously another factor of Pishnayim, of Bachor, which we're not going to get into now, which we'll see also in a minute, that obviously we can't be Oiker. We can't, Masa Masha Kasab HaTorah, to try and go kind of the Torah is not an option, but we're going to see in a minute the mechanism used would be able to be applied to a Bachor. Now, why would we not want to give the Bachor double? Also seems to be connected the, with the Torah's Ratzin. That's beyond the scope of our discussion. We're not going to get into that in this shir. So let's now discuss how do we actually implement that? What's the practical way of making it happen that we could divide the state evenly? The chayra again, which seems to be one is being masna mashal chasav b'teira. Now we do find an idea that where there are multiple yorshim, for example, you have three sons, or two sons, two daughters, you could, the Mishnah Baba Basra, and Shita passing like Rabbi Yochanan and Breka, you could direct that the estate to go to one more than the other. That's something that could be done if they're both yorshim. And even then, there's another idea, which is that we don't want to, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, it's not a good thing necessarily to take, generally speaking, to take away a Yerusha from a child, even if it's not the best child. Generally, we don't do that. I'll just mention briefly an interesting case that came to me many years ago. A woman called up the Bez and her father had passed away, very wealthy man, and in the will, apparently she didn't have the greatest relationship with her father, and in the will, they were stated in very clear black and white letters that it's to my great regret that they've felt necessary to exclude this woman, this daughter from my will. And she was given nothing from the estate. This woman was not a religious woman and, had really zero religious affiliation. But, when it comes to money, people become creative. And the sister, there was two daughters, the sister was somewhat affiliated, I'm not sure exactly to what level, and so she was trying to figure out some way to lay claim to this estate, and so she was Googling, I guess, some, you know, religious inheritance laws, and so she reached out to us, thinking that maybe that would be, give her some claim on the estate, and the daughter would maybe abide by it, the sister would abide by it. So there was only two daughters over here, and again, using that Mishnah Baba Basra, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, a parent can redirect from within the two yarshim. So let's just take a step back. There's no sons, only two daughters. So again, we said that's this week's parasha, that the estate will go to the daughters. Within two daughters, that's the Mishnah Baba Basra, one can redirect the estate to go to one over the other since they're both Yarshim. So, and that's exactly what happened over here, was that the estate was redirected to the other sister. So that would seem to leave her out in the cold with nothing. However, there were other beneficiaries of this will, like cousins or nieces and nephews, whatever it was. And for those, since they are not Yorshim, Midaraisa, they wouldn't be part of the Yerusha. So there, that may be a legitimate claim that you can't take it away from her and give it to them. We'll see shortly why that may not be 100% correct. But if you, the Gemara Baba Basra and Yesh Nechon tells us that if you use language of gifting it, then you will be able to, the Lashon of Matana will help. And so in this case, and even if you use both Lashonis, even if you use Lashon of gifting together with Lashon Yerusha, will also work. And in this case, it was interesting that there's a few of these beneficiaries, and by all of them, the language was, I will give, devise, and bequeath. So, give is a Lashon Matana. Bequeath is a Lashon Yerusha. So, both Lashonis, if you use both languages, that will actually be good. That will help. And then, since it's a Matana, there's nothing she could do about it to nullify it. However, it was interesting, by one of the beneficiaries, for some reason, over there, the lawyer did not write the word give, he just wrote devise and bequeath. For some reason, I don't know why. So that one, that particular beneficiary is only a Lashon Yerusha. And since the Yorish Dereis over here is these two sisters, so that that particular beneficiary should not be able to get it, and it should go to be divided between the two sisters. However, we do find that if they're both done, if you have two beneficiaries you're trying to give to against Yerusha Dereisa, and you'll use Lashon Matana by one of them, and the other one is Teche de Dibur, it's in the same time frame, and the other one does not use Lashon Matana, that will be good. That will be okay. So over here, Yesh Ladun, where it was done in a document, Yesh Ladun, if that will be able to work, is that considered like Teche de Dibur, considering that it was all executed as one document? Or it's not actually Teche de Dibur necessarily when one was done together with the other. More Mestavra, I think that it would be Teche de Dibur since the execution of it happened at one time, but Yesh Ladin Bazeh. Nonetheless, on a practical level, this woman said it's not really relevant because the only one who's even somewhat affiliated is the sister, and like we explained, the sister there is no claim on. But the other relatives were completely unaffiliated and would not anyways be willing to sign on to an arbitration of a religious based in, so it wasn't really relevant on a practical level to try and pursue that angle. there's another point here, which is, and this will be the beginning of our the next segment of our discussion, which is that when there is a legal will, there is the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein that will have a dinner like a kinyan, that will be a successful way of giving a portion of the Yerusha, even when you don't use the language of Matana. But I don't want to get into the difficult concept. We're not going to focus on it too much because we're really trying to focus on a different angle. We're going to get to shortly, but there is Shitas Rav Moshe that a will be considered a kinyan and will be effective, which again in the story that we just mentioned, that would obviously then also mean that this woman would have no claim on that relative. Others say that it has a din of mitzvah kaim din reha meis. There's a different concept, which is that there's a, even if it's not chal the kinyan, but there's a din on the yorshim to fulfill the will of the meis. It's only when the money was put in escrow, but some say that a will, considering that it's put in the control of the courts, the court has control to execute a will, that would be like hushlash, that would be like putting it by escrowing it by a third party, and then there would be a din mitzvah kaim din reha meis, which would obligate the yorshim to fulfill the will. But let's get to our main point, which is the way it's commonly done today when a person wants to divide estate evenly, like we mentioned, or just do it in some way that's deviating from default Yerusha of this week's Parsha. And the mechanism that we use is called something called Shtar Chatzi Zachar. It's discussed in the Paiskim. And the Shtar Chatzi Zachar literally means a Shtar of a half of a Zachar, which means that at a certain point in history, it's going back a very long time, there was a minhag of giving a daughter a half portion. Again, like we said, the way it was set up had the daughter getting other things along the way, and therefore if you look at the overall picture, it may end up being somewhat of an even, not necessarily, but possibly somewhat even regardless. But again, I don't want to get too focused on that exact breakdown of how it would come out if a person would follow the exact prescription of Chazal. We're just going to focus on how one will actually execute successfully dividing it evenly. So that idea of giving half portion to a daughter, it's not going to be effective if you can't redirect the Yerush away from a Terah Yerush to a non-Terah Yerush. So the way it has to be done is that a person will impose on himself an obligation. He obligates himself to his daughter, or alternatively, for many, many people, I think I would say most people, will want the estate to go to their spouse after their patira, and only subsequently to their children. It's very common. So it would be the same idea. The husband will yarshin the wife, but the wife is not yorish the husband. So naturally it will go to the children, it will not go to the wife. And if a person wants it to go to his wife, so again, how does he carry that out? If again we mentioned there is the Shitas from Moshe about the will being, if the secular will being effective. Many argue on that Ramesha. We did mention the other idea, Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Ramesh, but let's talk about this way that's commonly used, which is what he imposes on himself an obligation to, let's say, his wife or to his daughters. That he owes them, it's an obligation to them in a very, very large number, larger than the estate. If the estate is, let's say, $1 million, so you obligate yourself for $2 million, more than the value of the entire estate, and then the state is going to have to pay out that obligation, leaving nothing for the yorshim. In other words, his wife is owed now $2 million, which is double the value of the estate. And so all the entire money of the estate will have to be used to pay the wife, leaving nothing for the sons. However, you put it, there's a clause that in the event that that the estate, that the yorshim, will adhere to the will that he wrote, he obviously is writing a separate will or some other document, so then in that case, where there's a separate, so if, so the we're making a clause that if they will abide by the will, then the obligation's off. In other words, he's creating this obligation with the stipulation that if the will will be fulfilled by the Yorshim, the obligation's off. And this way, they are incentivized that they should abide by the will, or else they end up getting nothing, because it will all be then obligated to the wife or the daughters. And so again, we're calling it a shtar chatzi zacha, which means when this minhag was originally instituted, it was giving half portions to the daughters. So either you pay the daughters this huge obligation, which will wipe them out, or give them the half portion. So today, like we said, there are those who, Manhigim, are advising, divide everything evenly. So either the state will have an obligation to give everything to the daughters, or give them a equal portion, to the wife. It's only going to work, really, if it would work, meaning we're going to leave some Yerusha. We try and be Mekayim, the Yerusha Deris, on some level. In other words, even if we want to make this split, we're going to usually try and leave a portion of the Yerusha to be untouched by these different control mechanisms. And we're going to leave a portion of it that should just follow Yerusha Deris. Rav Moshe has three different numbers in his different tshuvas. It's hard to quantify. I think the basic idea is something which, based on the size of the state, has some level of significance. It shouldn't be, $10. It's subjective to the person and the state size. But we're going to leave that portion to follow Yerusha Deiraisa, and the rest will be this Shtar Chatzi Zachar to the wife, let's say, for the entire state, or the daughter for an even portion. And then again, if a person will not follow that, he'll lose even that small part. And it's a complicated document because obviously you don't want everyone to suffer for one person. If this one person does decide to make trouble, so, we don't want everyone else to lose. But that is the idea. That's the basic rough idea of how one can, successfully give out to successfully divide his estate, or we said to give it to one spouse in a way that will be halachically effective. And again, one obviously should consult with their own personal mora derech, what's correct for them. But we said this is by different gedolim are advising this, and that it's not in conflict with the Ratzon HaTorah. That's already each person could deal with that on their own personal level. But as far as how it works, that would be a mahalach to be able to accomplish this successfully.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.